Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 while we stand to our feet. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as you stand to your feet, if you could and would, in the reverence, the reading of God's Word, we're going to end up dealing with godly men, and godly men make godly fathers. And so as we begin to read in verse 1, the Bible said, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask you to come by and help us now for just a little while. We certainly need a touch. And Lord, I ask you now that you'd help the one that was lost, save them. Help the one that is in need, that just needs direction, comfort, maybe edification from the Word of God. But Lord, while we stand to preach, give us unction from the Holy One. Lord, I really believe this to be the message for the hour, and we're going to give you the glory for it. And Lord, I pray you might be honored. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The book of Deuteronomy is laying out to the nation of Israel a lot of sundry commandments, if I could put it that way. In the very fact is Moses knows that they're fixing to cross over into Canaan land. In the book of Deuteronomy, we're coming down toward the end of their travel and that in the wilderness. And he's trying to get them ready to go into the promised land and to be ready and that to fight and to serve the Lord when they get to where they're going. Let me say that me and you ought to just want to serve the Lord wherever we're at. Amen. It ought to be our desire and our want to and that to serve God. But I believe in these verses right here, he's laying out for these men and we'll say also these ladies and that to teach, to know and to teach, and that to their children. So as I preach and look at these verses, I believe they tell us in that how to live godly and how to be godly, to be a person after God's own heart, to be a person who knows the Lord, will seek God, and can be guided by God. David said this in Psalms 12, he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." I believe we're lacking godly men today. I believe homes are lacking godly dads and godly fathers in the home. A father has children. A good father has children and will take care of them and take care of his wife, and he'll work and he'll pay the bills and he'll do whatever it takes to make sure his family's took care of. But that godly father will do all that. Plus, he'll want to serve God and make sure his home's right, make sure his wife's right, make sure his children's right, and he'll do all that he can in the eyes of God to get that done. Amen. I know after a while, listen to me, when your youngins get old enough to move out on their own, you just better hope that what you gave them is going to help them. And you say, well, they're not living right now, but that don't mean it wasn't what you gave them. Turn wrong, by the way, but listen, you give them what God's book says, and then you, when they grow up and they move out and they get on their own, then you're going to have to depend on what you gave them out of God's book to steer them right. Amen. Hey, listen, after a while, and they grow up, they get out, some of them move away, they move away from home, and you don't know what's going on, and you just pray, Lord, what we gave them growing up, let it still be in their mind. You know, he said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train them up while you still got them there. Three things I want to look at here in the Word of God for a godly father and a godly man. I want you to notice right here as he's laying out and getting them ready right here. Notice what he said notice what he said right here. That you might do them. Now, talking about the judgment, the commandment of God, to do them in the land whether you go to possess it. So he's getting them ready to go in. And the very first thing he said, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. I believe, first of all, this morning, a godly father and a godly man, he's going to fear God. I mean, we're lacking fear today. We're lacking the fear of God, the fear of His. You know why I do right? I love the Lord. You know why else I do right? I'm afraid of the Lord. And you can say what you want to and say, God don't want you to be afraid. That's wrong, friend. I know there's a reverential fear, and then I know there is an afraid fear. And friend, I think we need to be afraid of God. Amen. Hey, listen, the world is not afraid of God, even though judgment is coming. Even though it's out there in the near future and could show up today, by the way. Folks still ain't afraid of God. And I believe a fear of God. He said that thou mightest fear the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the wisest man on the face of the earth, Solomon, wrote this. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, as he's talking about life, he said, here is the conclusion of the whole matter. And he says this, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He gives us two things. He said, fear God and keep His commandments. I believe the very first thing that godly dad's going to have to do is he's going to have to fear God. Going to have to fear God in salvation. You know, a good dad can raise his children right, but a godly dad's got to be saved. Amen. Hey, listen, there was a time that I become afraid of the God in heaven and realized that I was lost and needed to get saved. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know what that tells me? Man dies and goes to hell, he's got a body. Not only does he have a body when he goes, but his soul's going to be there. And that very thing that is eternal, I will spend eternity in a devil's hell burning forever and ever. But he said, don't fear man that can just kill your body. He said, fear God that can kill your body and soul and then cast them into hell. And so this morning, I tell you, that fear must stem and act from the Holy Spirit and that of God. You remember what we sung this morning, page 57? It was grace that taught my heart to what? To fear. Grace. Boy, God, it was God's grace that found you in a church pew or sitting at home or in a car or wherever, maybe in a tent revival or wherever God found you out in the vacation Bible school. Listen, God found you somewhere and fear crept into your life and grabbed your heart and showed you you needed to be saved. And boy, thank God for the fear of God that it will open your eyes to the knowledge and that of salvation needing to be saved. Is that not what happened in Acts chapter 16 to the Philippian jailer over there? Well, after God rumbled the earth that night, and I'll never forget what Brother Bob McCurry said while them boys was down there at midnight singing and praying. He said, I believe God said, I'll just catch that bass note. And when God caught the bass note, he sung a little bit, and it rattled the foundations of that jail, and the doors swung open. And boy, I'm telling you what, when that Philippian jailer seen all the doors standing open, the Bible said that he thought that his prisoners was gone, that he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, but the Apostle Paul hollered out and said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And the Bible said that he got a light and sprung in and fell down before him and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hey, I believe that old boy got fearful, and that of the Almighty God, and knew that he needed to get saved, and there was something different about them men, and they could help him get saved if he had just trust God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thine house, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. And by the way, it changed him. Man, I'm telling you what, he took Paul and Silas, took them out, took them home. He was baptized. He dressed their wounds and set them down to eat breakfast with him. And then the Bible said he was rejoicing. You reckon something was a little different at the dinner table that morning when they sat down to eat? His children seen something different. His wife seen something different. Listen, when Jesus comes in, you'll see something different in folk. Amen. Folk tell me they get saved, or that they're godly, or they want to live right, but yet they're not any different than the world. Fear will come in. You know why I don't live like the world? I fear God. Hey, something different. I want to be different. I'm not different for different's sake. I'm different because he made me different. I think you ought to be different too. Fearfulness. Fearfulness. The other night, I was come out of my study about, I guess it's about 10 after 11, and I come in there, I was doing something in the living room. And any of y'all ever heard a screech owl? And you ever heard them screech? I believe that thing was in my kitchen. And I was standing in my living room, and you just got to make about 4 steps into my kitchen, and there you are. And that thing went off, that screech owl went off, you know, and I hope that's what it was. And I thought, what was that? And I was standing there, and I thought maybe I'd kick something or move something. I was doing something there in the living room, and that thing went off again. I began to get paranoid at that time. My wife said, you got afraid, didn't you? I said, I got afraid I was going to have to go outside and figure out what that thing was. That's what I got afraid about. She said, oh, don't ever go outside. I said, I don't know. But man, I'm telling you, that thing was loud. And I laid in the bed. I went on the bed and I laid in the bed there for an hour or so. And I thought, what was that racket? What was that racket? And it finally dawned on me. I thought to myself, it was a screeching sound. I finally went and looked up what a screech owl sounded like. And I listened to that thing, and sure enough, that's what I heard. I don't know where that thing was, if it's outside my window, outside my door. I don't know where it was, but it sure liked to make me afraid. But you know what? When it comes to getting saved, let me say this. When it comes to getting saved, I don't think everybody has to get afraid of dying and going to hell, but I do think they got to see themselves lost and undone without God. And there's got to be a fearfulness there of standing before a just and an almighty God and knowing that their sins are going to be required of them one day. And then that godly man will fear God. You know what the Bible said in Proverbs 1? It said to fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He also said in Proverbs chapter 9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in our fear of God, whether we're talking about a fearfulness in the fact of afraidness, if you let me say that, or reverential, or being reverent toward God, and I think we need both of them. I told you, I serve, let me put it, I'm going to say it again, I know most of y'all know this, but listen to me. When I was growing up, I done what my dad told me to do because I was afraid not to. I knew that I was going to get wore out if I didn't do that. But as time went on, I didn't fear that so much as I grew up. Especially now, I do what he asks me to do when he does ask me to do something because I love him. And something changed through all that. I do things for my dad now because I want to do them and because I love him so much. You know what? I know the Lord wants us to be fearful and have a knowledge of fear of him and toward him, not only in being and also in being reverent. But I'm telling you, he just really wants us to love him. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. The Bible said here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is also the beginning of wisdom. That's why you need the fear of God in your life. What keeps you, let me ask you something, what keeps you doing right? Is it because you're afraid of him that he will beat on you if you do not? And by the way, we've seen that this morning in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. He told us over there that he will chasten us. Or do we do it because we want to reverence him with our life? I want God to be pleased with my life. I think that godly father wants him to be pleased with his life. By the way, let me say this today, Ed. You've got children watching you. You know, need to raise them boys. Now, I know we leave girls off to mom sometimes and dad to raise the boys and but I mean, you need to raise them in that, in the fear and the knowledge of God, to realize that there's some things that's required out of them once they get saved. He wants them to live right. He wants you to live right and teach your children how to live right. 1 Samuel chapter 12, he said, if you will fear the Lord and serve him with fear. Serve him with fear. You say, are you fearful? I'm fearful that do you think I just jump here behind this pulpit and say, well, the Lord, give me a message this week? Do you not think I've spent time in prayer to figure out what the right thing is? I mean, I was still praying on the way up here. Lord, I really want to know that this is the right message. I'm concerned about that thing. It's important for you to get what you need, for me to deliver what you need, for me to get what I need. Job chapter 1. You know what it said about Job? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. And one that what? Feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, he ran away from him. Did Job not serve God? Did Job not serve God with everything that he had? Served him with his children? Did he not go out there? Well, let's look over there. Take your Bible and go to the book of Job chapter 1. Go to Job chapter 1. Look in verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that the man was the greatest of all the men of the east. You reckon God blessed Job? I think so. That's what Satan says about Job to God. Says, you blessed him everywhere he's turned, Lord. And his sons went feasting in their houses. Everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. He sacrificed for his children. He wanted to make sure he was doing all that he could to make sure that his children was right with God. Why? He feared God. You know why people ain't in church today? They don't fear God. Some of them's laid out on the lake today. I'd be afraid to get on a boat on Sunday and miss church. I'm afraid that sucker'd sink just sure as the world. I'm serious. Hey, I remember one time them boys that I was working with, they were being a little underhanded. And that's about all I want to say about that. But they brought me a wad of money one time at Choke a Horse. I said, what's that? He said, that's your part. I said, that ain't my part. I'd be afraid I'd take that money, buy gas with it, Brother Marvin, and there'd be water in the gas tank, just sure as the world. I said, I want that stuff. I want it. Don't want that stuff. You don't need it either. But notice right here that Job was concerned for his children. He feared God. He loved God. He wanted to serve God. You going to make you want to do right. Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah said this while he was building a wall. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, even their servants by rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Nehemiah said, I feared God, and I wasn't going to do wrong. He said, I was going to do as right as I could. You know, a godly father and a godly man will want to do as right. And a godly woman, now I'll just go ahead and throw you in here, ladies. You'll want to do as right as you can because you fear God. You fear God. Take your Bible and go to Psalms 103. Go to Psalms 103. I want to show you something. Miss Jennifer made a statement today. After all that he's done for us, don't you still want to trust him? Don't you still trust him? Psalms 103. Look in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, ain't that a wonderful thing. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that what? Fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that what? Fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for a man, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the field. So he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it. It is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, from them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. I love what the writer said right here. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Some of you look at your children when they were little, especially, and you knew they could not do. They could. You ever seen your child just try to do something, maybe pick up something heavy? Just pick up something heavy and try to tote it and carry it. And they could. I remember watching my daddy when I was just a boy, and he had a toolbox, this big old gray toolbox, you know, this big old Sears and Roebuck toolbox that had a handle on top of it. And when he would pick it up, and he'd just reach down there and pick it up and take off with it. And it looked like it was heavy even when he carried it. And I remember being a boy, I'd reach down there and try to pick that thing up with all my might, Brother Jeff, and just try to get that thing and pick it up, and could not even budge it. But I'd want to help him carry it from time to time. And sometimes you just want him to help you carry it. You know, as a father pitieth his children, you know, you look at your children and you say, they can't do that, but you help them. They don't deserve that, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. How many of you have got something for your children? Even though you knew they probably didn't deserve it, but because you loved them and because you simply wanted them to have it, you gave it to them. Don't the Lord do us the same way? As I studied this, I was reminded of the little hot dog incident there at the Crystals one day. I'll tell this story because Brother Marvin ain't heard it. He needs to hear this. He might get him a little hot dog out of the deal one day. I remember me and Kelly was pulling up there to the Crystals and was ordering, and she had ordered one of them chili cheese pups. And you know, that's a little bitty hot dog. It's got chili cheese on it. That makes sense, don't it? And I thought to myself, boy, I'd like to have one of them. But she had already ordered it. And I thought, I'd like to have one. And you can call it coincidence, you can call it whatever you want to. I kind of think God might have gotten arrangements on some things. And we pulled around there to the window and collected our food. And you know what happened to be one extra in that bag? One of them little hot dogs. You know, when a man's ways please the Lord, I do like to think that my ways please the Lord. I know that it says he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him, but I guess he can get a little hot dog out of the deal too. I think the Lord pitied me that day. I do. I'll be honest with you. I really think the Lord pitied me that day. And he just gave me Proverbs chapter 3, or Proverbs talks about getting the desires of your heart. When you follow the Lord, the desires of your heart, you know. You say, well, that's just something silly, preacher. It might be something silly to you, but I really wanted one of them little hot dogs. I could handle one right now, too. Amen. It'll make you want to do right, though. Nehemiah wanted to do right. When you fear God, it'll make you want to do right. It'll make you want to run your home right. It'll make you want to make sure that your children are raised right. Make sure that they get the right education, to make sure that they get what they need. It'll make you want to do good on the job. But he takes notice of us, don't he? We go back here as a father pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. We're just made out of the ground. You know what? God knows that. Just made out of the dirt. The fear of God becomes very evident to him. He knows whether we fear him or not. He knows. And we should. Moses told him the very first thing was that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. He comes down in verse 5. And I know there's some other things that he said, and I'll come back and get some of this. And by the way, let me just stop right here and look at something that he said right here, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son. So teach them to your son and to your grandchildren for sure all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Seems like we stumbled across that somewhere in Sunday school this morning. Talking about prolonging your days. You want to prolong your days? Follow God's word. Have fear for the Lord God Almighty in your heart. Have fear and live for Him and according to His word. But notice what he said right here in verse 5. I'm talking about being a godly father and a godly man. What makes a difference in your... You know the one thing that the devil's trying to destroy today, and you say, well, that's the church. Well, sure he is. But how's he doing it? Well, he's doing it in our country, preacher. Well, sure he is. But where's he doing it at? He's doing it in the home. Because if he can weave his way into your home and begin to work on that thing, you know what he's got? He's already got the church at that point. And he's got our government. And he's got our country. It all starts at the home. It all starts in the home. What happens in this church starts in the home. It does. Whether you believe that or not, don't change it. It's in your home. What I preach out of this pulpit starts in my home. What I preach to you on Sunday, I ought to be living in my home. I don't want to be like the Apostle Paul talked about, one that just beateth the air. The home is... being destroyed. That's why a godly man in the home is so important. I know children grow up without dad. I understand it. And there's a lot of statistics. Man, I looked over statistic after statistic when I studied this message about what goes on in the home. And I mean, it was just, some of it, I don't know if you can believe it or not, but it's amazing. But I'm going to tell you, that home will do better when mom and daddy are there together in it. There's no way around it. God set it up that way. For home to have mom and dad in it, and to have a godly mom and a godly dad in it, and that raising them children. Well, look in verse 5. That godly father, that godly man, he says in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. Not only will you fear the Lord, but you'll love the Lord. You know, the Lord over there at one point, he said, this is the great commandment. Ain't that what he said? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy might. He called them the great commandment. John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we love the Lord? We keep his commandments. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. Notice how he said to love God. He said love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. I believe everything about you should love God. And I believe it should be evident that you love God. You ought to be evident in the way you conduct business. It'll be evident in the way that you love on your children. How you love your wife, men, will be evident that you love God. Some of you all have worked on job or working job now, and you've been around men that they make fun of their wife or they run their wife down. I refuse to do that. I'll make jokes about my wife. No, sir. Uh-uh. You think God makes jokes about the church? I mean, since you think God's got a sense of humor? I think he does. I mean, you ever read your Bible? I know God's got a sense of humor. He put that part, I was reading this the other day, I was reading it last night. I was reading over there about Samson. When the man of God, the angel of the Lord, come over there to Manoah and his wife. He come to her first and told her everything, and she goes home and tells Manoah her husband, and so they began to pray, Lord, if this is what you want, send the man of God back by again. And so he comes back by again, and he goes through all this again about Samson, what's going to happen with Samson, and he says, well, stay here and let me make a sacrifice unto God. And he does that, and when that thing flames up, the angel of the Lord goes up in the flame and goes away, and Manoah looks at his wife and said, we've seen the angel of the Lord, now we're going to die. And you say, well, what's so funny about that? She looks at him and said, well, do you think that the Lord would have sent his angel down here to tell us what we're going to do and what he wants us to do, and he's going to give us a child if he's going to kill us? She was pretty much telling him, you're kind of crazy. You ought to go over and read that sometime. I mean, Manoah, he was just getting excited. You know, God's going to kill us now. God's got a sense of humor. I don't think God makes fun of the church. I don't think me and you ought to be making fun of your wife. I make jokes when she's around to her, but that's for her to hear and not for nobody else. She makes jokes on me when I'm around, and that's fine. That's between me and her, you know. Did I hit a stump right there? Are we doing okay? We doing all right this morning? Okay. All right, I hope so. Let me tell you, as much as God loves, he don't poke fun at us. He don't make fun of us. Let me say this. I've been thinking about this. I may preach on this sometime. How many of you men in here would share your wife with somebody else? Or is the church not considered the bride of Christ? Why would you think that Christ wants to share the church with somebody else? Why does he want you to be separated and live for him? He don't want you out in the world. That's just a little extra this morning. It didn't cost you nothing. Amen. You'll love God. Everything about you, from your inside to your outside, you'll love God. You'll want to love him with your spirit, with your heart, with your soul. Listen, you'll want to love him with your body. You'll give your body and that unto Christ. You'll love the things of God, the Word of God. You'll love the house of God. You'll love the people of God. Some people tell me they love God, but they never come to church. They don't love God. Don't love God. Ain't no way you can love God, not come to church, spend time with His people, fellowship with His people, spend time in His Word. You'll want to do for the Lord. Don't you do things for Sister Kathy, Brother Jeff, that you do for her because you love her? And you do things for him because... No, she's shaking her head. No. You do things for him because you love him. See what happens when you sit in front of the preacher, you get picked on a little bit. You know, I do things for my wife simply because she's my wife. Goes back to that loving thing again. But I do things for her simply because I love her. I'll give you an example. I'm not tooting my own horn, but she ate a peach last night. It was very mealy. It wasn't real good, so there was still part of that peach left. And one of us was going to have to take it outside because you know what happens? You leave a cut peach sitting around too long, what happens? Why, gnats show up, don't they? Them little suckers will come out of nowhere, won't they? They got to be of the devil. Man, they got to be of the devil. And you know what I done? I just snatched that thing up off the bar and walked outside. It wasn't my peach. I didn't cut the peach. I didn't do none of that stuff. But I took it outside so she didn't have to. You say, well, that wasn't love. Yeah, but I done that because I do love her. You want to do for the Lord. You'll want to praise Him. You'll want to worship Him. You'll want to live right for Him. You'll want to spend time. You know, if you love somebody, you want to spend time around them, don't you? How about reading in His Word and praying? Just spending time with Him. You ever just get alone and spend a little time with Him? Say, Lord, just want to talk to You today. And then come to... You know, I know y'all know this. I've said this I don't know how many times. But when I go to pray, I go to pray. And it just seems like I'm asking for a lot. Seems like I just ask and ask. But when's the last time that we ever just got along with God and said, Lord, I just want to come and just talk to You for a little while. Tell You how much I love You and thank You for loving me. I ain't coming to ask You for anything, but boy, You've been awful good to me. You saved me when I wasn't worthy, and boy, You've blessed my family. You give me a good wife, and You've given me all these children, and You've given me all these things, and I don't deserve none of them. When's the last time you ever just approached God like that? Lord, I just want to come thank You. Just want to thank You for today. You've been so good to me. You know, if you love God, you'll want to keep His Word because you'll want to make Him happy and stay out of the world. You know, He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in him. For all that is in of the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. He's not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He said, don't love the world, just love God. Godly man will love God. Well, people think I'm a sissy or a weakling if I love God. No, no, not once I get to know You. I mean, we need some tough men. You know, hey, listen. When you fear God and you love God, He can help you. He can help you. He can help you be tough when you need to be tough, and He can help you be soft when you need to be soft. But we need some godly men that fear God, that love God. And then in verses 6 through 9, he talks about these, about the Word of God. Notice if we go back to verse 2, he said, and I must fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee. You pick up in verse 6, and he said, and these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. As Moses was fixing to lay out exactly what they were and what they were not to do as they were crossing over into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, and how they were to live before God over there, he said, I want these words to be in your heart, to read them, to study them, to meditate on them, to get them down on the inside of you. A godly man will have the Word of God inside of him. Psalms 119, verse 11, he said, thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I think you need and I need to try to get the Word of God inside of us. Was it Mark Twain that made the statement that he said it's not what I understand out of the Bible that I have problems with. It's what I do understand that I have problems with. And what he was saying right there, having problems with it, was learning to live by it. And what he was saying is people are all the time talking about things that they don't understand out of the Word of God, but it's what we understand that we need to be concerned with. A lot of people are more concerned about what they don't understand than what they do understand. I don't understand a lot of, but I do know how to read plain English. And I do know when it says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all strength and all thy mind. I know that I ought to do that. I can understand that. I can understand when he says over here that to hide God's word in your heart, to hide it in there. Hey, Deuteronomy chapter 30, he said, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. Why? That thou mayest I think the Word of God ought to have preeminence in your home. You know, Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Psalms 119, David said, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Does our heart stand in awe of God's word? I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. How much? He said, put the word of God in your heart. Have it on the inside. And then he said this. He said, when you do this, he said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently. That means to stay after it. That means to be fervent in it. To do it all the time. Does that mean, preacher, I got to carry the Bible around all the time, everywhere I go and every waking minute? Hey, listen, what he's trying to teach you and tell me is look, you read it to them, you give it to them, and then you live it in front of them. You do it by example. Can I tell you that this book will make you do things that you normally would not do in your flesh? It'll make you come to church when you don't feel like it. Because you know it's the right thing to do. The love of God's in your heart. You fear God. This book says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another as you see the day approaching. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It'll make you give to the poor. We have relinquished our responsibility as the church to the government. You know, church was to handle taking care of the poor. Go back and read. Now, there's a difference in being poor and being lazy. I mean, here's a message. I still got back on that back table. Our responsibility to the poor. You know, there's some people that are poor. They can't help it. No matter, it just seems like they can't get it. Listen, these folk that are members of this church, they're poor. That's another message for another time. But it'll make you want to give. A lot of people are stingy and they wouldn't give for nothing. Hey, listen, chances are you're going to probably end up with a whole lot of nothing eventually if you ain't careful. Your children see the Word of God being performed in your life. It comes out. He said to teach them diligently when you walk and when you sit and when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign upon thy hand that they shall be frontlets between your eyes, write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Why? Why did God say all of this? And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells deep which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full. When God blesses you. That's what he's saying right there. When God blesses you, do this, you fear God. You love God, you have the Word of God in your heart, you hide it in your heart, and you teach it diligently to your children so that when God brings you over here to the land of Canaan and gives you all kinds of things that you didn't have nothing to do with, then what? Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. From the house of bondage. You know why you need to live before your children right and godly right now? Because there's going to be a day when they leave your house and they need what they've saw before them to go on forward with, to live for God. You know, I go back to that verse, Proverbs 22. I know I've got long, but train up a child in the way he should go and when he's old and not depart from it. It's up to you to train, and you train by the Word of God. The fear here was the very fact that they would forget God. You want me to tell you what happened? They done exactly what God said they were going to do. They forgot God. Now let me park right here and I'm fixing the close. What's happened to our country? What's happened to our country? In the last 120 years, and we'll go all the way back to 1900 and even prior to that, God has blessed our nation, made a great nation out of us. Made a bunch of rough and rugged people that come over here that just wanted some religious freedom. And then God began to bless and bless and bless and bless. And what has happened? People's forgot God. So after he said, God's brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his. I think you need to tell your children, look what God's done for us right here. I think they need to be reminded, you know, yeah, I get up and go to work. I get up and do what the Lord wants out of me. But it's God that's blessing. It's God that's gave me the health. It's God that's gave me the breath. It's God that's gave us the sunshine. It's God that's made the corn to grow. It's God that's allowed me to have the ability to go to work and do whatever it is that you do. God caused all that. Your children need to hear that. They don't need to think that you've accomplished something other than just being faithful to God, being faithful to what He's wanted out of you. But that because you served him. I do think God blesses because you serve him. He just wants some godly men today. Needs some godly men. Let's bow our head this morning if we would. Brother Marvin, come to the pen if you would this morning. Brother Jacob, let's get a verse of invitation if we would. Godly men. You know, it's help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. In your home, how much does the Word of God have preeminence in your life? You say, well, my wife reads it. She reads it to the children. Yeah, but how much are you involved in it, Dad? How much does the Word of God mean to you? How much does your children see you reading the Bible? I think they need to see it. How much do they see you living by the Word of God? Do they know you love God? Do you honor God in your home? More than just giving him some kind of prayer before you sit down to eat your dinner, and I think you should. But, I mean, do you love him more now? How about the fear of God? Is it evident in your home and in your life? Should be.